Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Very important message for all of us to hear this morning. And our title is Moving Out of Hate House. Based on our gospel reading, these verses especially, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Again, our title is Moving Out of Hate House. I invite you to follow your sermon outline, especially this morning, as you'll find it in front of you in your handout. Ron Davis, in his book entitled Mistreated, tells a story of a man who owned a piece of land in a residential part of a large city. But this piece of land posed an especially bad problem for him. If land was only 5 feet wide, but it was 100 feet long between two other people's property, there was nothing he could do with such an odd-sized lot but hopefully sell it to one of his neighbors. Well, the first neighbor offered him a very low price, and the man was beside himself with anger. That's not even one-tenth of the worth of the property. And he went to his other neighbor, who knew that he was desperate to sell, and he only offered him a few dollars more, which really made him upset. He was not going to let anybody cheat him, by golly. So he hired a builder to build one of the strangest houses you can see, still standing. The house that he built was 5 feet wide and 100 feet long. It was a series of individual rooms, each room so small that only one piece of furniture could fit in each room. The neighbors complained that the structure would damage their house values, but there was no law against it, and the house stood and stands. When the house was completed, the owner moved in and lived in this uncomfortable house until his death and would speak to no neighbor from that day on. It became known in that city as Hate House and stands as a monument to one man's hatred. Well, I wonder how many people today live in Hate House. I read of a couple in Switzerland who do. It all began when he canceled yet another vacation trip. She responded by pouring poison into his fish tank and killing all of his precious fish. His next action was to throw her diamond jewelry in the garbage disposal. She then threw his stereo equipment into the swimming pool. Then he poured bleach over all of her $200,000 collection of beautiful gowns. Then things really escalated. She then poured a gallon of paint over his $85,000 sports car. He responded by kicking a hole in her priceless Picasso painting. She responded by opening the seacocks on his 38-foot yacht and sinking it where it was docked. When their daughter came home, she phoned the police. But the police could do nothing about it. There's no law against a couple destroying their own property. Eventually, a lawyer was then called to establish a truce. For goodness sake, the need for forgiveness in our world. So Peter came to Jesus one day asking about forgiveness. And he said, Lord, when my brother sins against me, should I forgive him up to seven times? Peter's question was, how much or how long does a person forgive? It's an important question. But today we're asking even more of an important question. And here it is. Why is it necessary to forgive someone who has wronged you. In today's sermon from Matthew 18, Jesus gives us at least three reasons. They're on your sermon outline this morning. First, it's necessary to forgive others for the peace of our own souls. Peter needed to learn this. He came to Jesus upset or unsettled with somebody who had wronged him. He asked Jesus if forgiving seven times is enough. Jesus' response basically says, if you have to ask how much forgiveness, then what you're really asking is, why forgive at all? He then gets Peter's attention, and hopefully ours too, by saying to Peter, not just seven times, but 70 times seven. Later, he'll tell us why. The truth is, when we forgive, it's for our sake as much as it is for the other person's. The old comedian Buddy Hackett put it this way. When you're home nurturing resentment and sulking, they are out dancing. Who is being hurt by our lack of forgiveness? We are. And when we say these words, and I've heard some of you say them to me, when we say these words, I forgive, but never forget, your resentment is hurting you. Your resentment is poisoning your own heart. One reason we forgive is for the peace of our own souls. Resentment poisons our own heart and affects our relationships with yet other people. Another reason we forgive is because the past is the past. Let's read between the lines of Peter's question to Jesus. Shall I forgive up to seven times? Shall I forgive and move on, or hold on to it for my advantage? Oh Lord, I know what I want to do. And Jesus says, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Literally, 490 times. But it really means, in a Hebrew way of speaking, forgiveness that goes on and moves on. Life is too precious to waste with resentment. Why allow the past to keep affecting our present and our future? And sometimes we can find ourselves in the ridiculous position about being angry or upset with somebody of a past event, of now living in Hate House and not even clearly remembering what the old upset really was in the first place. Have you heard about the house in San Francisco with a line painted down the middle of the house? The picture was in the newspaper. Years ago, the picture showed two sisters in a house with a line painted down the middle of the house. They had a fight. They decided that one would live on one side of the line and one would live on the other side of the line, and they never spoke to each other again. When finally asked by the reporter, what was your fight about? Neither sister could remember the cause, but by golly, they knew it was the other person's fault. How tragic, but not uncommon, is lack of forgiveness in our households and even in the church. What a waste of time and energy. Are you beginning to think of someone you need to forgive? I hope so. There's a better way than living in Hate House. Of course there is. Jesus says there is. He calls it 70 times 7 living. This includes forgetting what is past and throwing it away. And it means you and me taking the initiative. You and me making the first move. And by doing that, you and me experiencing the biggest blessing. And this brings us to the third and last reason to forgive. It's on your sheet. We forgive. Look here. We forgive because we have been forgiven. Look up there upon the cross and the one who's hanging there. Why was that necessary? It was necessary for the full and total forgiveness of my sins, thank God, for your sins, and for the sins of the world. I can't help but think that Simon is coming by just in time now to get your attention. God says, here's the time of the sermon to really plug in. We forgive because we have been forgiven so very much. This is Jesus' answer to Peter when Peter says, should I forgive my brother? And if you remember the gospel reading, Jesus tells Peter a parable. Let me retell that to you in a brief session right now. A servant owed his ruler a large sum of money. The text says 10,000 talents. In modern parlance, that would be about $12 million. There was no way he could pay back the debt. Legally, the ruler had the right to sell this man and his family into slavery or throw him into prison to get part of the debt repaid. But this ruler had wonderful, unheard of compassion for this servant, and he forgave him the 10,000 talent, $12 million debt. What amazing forgiveness and compassion. But in the parable, what did that servant do? Not long after he was forgiven, he came upon a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. In our parlance, 20 bucks. And because the man couldn't pay him back the $20 debt, he had him thrown into jail. And when the ruler heard of that, he grabbed the ungrateful servant and threw him into the prison to show him how could he have done such a terrible thing. The point to Peter was clear. God has forgiven you, Peter, so much, says Jesus. Now the only right thing you can do is to forgive others. $12 million debt, forgiven. $20 debt, hung on to for dear life. The parable was for us to show us the discrepancy and point us to the cross and realize our $12 million debt has been forgiven. How ridiculous it is for us to hold on to a $20 marker somebody owes us for something little they've done in the past. Now, can you think of a time in Peter's life when he really personally needed this message of forgiveness? I can. It was when Jesus was hanging upon the cross. It was at the moment he denied Jesus three times before the next day Jesus was crucified. Perhaps Jesus' message of the importance of forgiveness did not sink into Peter's rock head immediately. But can you imagine how much he realized he needed God's forgiveness when he denied his Lord? Jesus had said to Peter earlier, you all will forsake me. And Peter said, if everybody else forsakes you, not me, Lord, I'll lay down my life for you. And Jesus said, oh, dear Peter, you have foot and mouth disease. Open up mouth, insert foot. You promised the moon, but at the moment I need you the most, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Peter said, never me. But that indeed is what happened. Now put yourself in Peter's shoes. As Jesus is hanging on the cross for the sins of the world. Imagine Peter's guilt and shame. Imagine him waiting for the worst. And yet, what words came from our Lord's mouth as he hung upon the cross paying for your sins and for mine, thank God? He said, Father, forgive them. And if you could have listened and with Peter really struggled to hear Jesus' whispers, you might have heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them 70 times 7. Forgiveness of sins. That's what the Christian church is all about. That's what this church, Trinity Lutheran Church, is all about. The only thing, my friends, we have to offer the dying world around us, they can't get someplace else, is the forgiveness of sins in the name of Christ. And if the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name ceases being proclaimed and shared in this place, then it's time to sell the property and let some developer build another high-rise apartment in this place. Another siren to catch our attention. My friends, I'm so very glad that every Sunday when we come here for worship, our eyes are compelled to look at the one who hung upon the cross, this statue over our altar. Look at the altar again. The one who gave his life for you and for the world. Look again as you see clearly how your sins were paid for. And know this for sure. In the words of the parable, it was no mere $20 debt the Lord paid for. He paid for the 10,000 talents, $12 million kinds of debt. What does the scripture say? For God so loved the world, He gave His Son. People of God, we then are forgiveness people. What a wonderful way to be remembered for the rest of our lives as forgiveness people. One of the most amazing gravestones I've ever seen and heard about is on the east coast of the USA. On this gravestone, the person who was deceased chose not to write their name, not to write the date they were born or the date they died. They only wrote one word on this gravestone by which they wanted to be remembered for all eternity. And the one word was, forgiven. My friends, life is so precious and short. Let's not waste any more of it with resentment and bitterness. You know who needs your forgiveness. Don't put it off any longer. Let's vacate. Let's move out of Hate House. And may this one truth be known about you and me. I am forgiven. So, I do forgive. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We now worship our Lord with His offering.